Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. My name is Matt Hester, and welcome to this latest episode of TechNet Radio, where I have a wonderful guest today, Rick Rainey from Opsgility. Why don't you say hello to the folks, Rick?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
So one of the great things we're going to talk about, Rick, so you work for this company called Opsgility. Who is Opsgility? What do you guys do? And then we'll talk about what we're going to discuss with the kind folks out there today.
Absolutely. So Opsgility is a new startup we launched about 3 months ago. And what we do, we're a training company, and we target basically three main audiences, actually two in depth, the IT professional and developers, all targeting the Windows Azure platform. We also target business decision makers or technology leaders. And so people that have questions about whether or not the cloud is right for them, you know, what is the cost benefit of moving to the cloud? We also address those audiences as well. But we go deep with the IT professional and the developer audience and provide courses around that.
So when you've developed some of this training, what has been the biggest gap so far, or kind of biggest learning? I mean, you guys obviously got in business, so you identified a gap. What do you think the biggest gap was with Azure in particular?
Well, I think, you know, so there's the number of things that play into that. Obviously, with the, you know, the release of IaaS when it GA'd, you know, really just about a year ago, it created a huge opportunity for customers in the enterprise space to take existing workloads to the cloud and, you know, use the virtual machine infrastructure for running those workloads. So that's one. I think another one is, too, just the rate of innovation and change that's happening on the platform itself. I mean, just go on vacation for a couple of weeks and come back and find all the changes and blogs that have been updated, and there's just a massive amount of information to keep up with. So, you know, part of the thing that we're trying to do there as well is, you know, one, address the, you know, what we view as a gap around the IT space, you know, training around the IT space for people targeting the cloud, as well as keeping up with the rate of change and making sure that, you know, the content that we deliver is current and top-notch content that people can rely on.
Yeah, I think with Azure, that becomes, I know we just recently made a whole bunch of announcements across the whole entire Azure stack of all these brand new improvements like the VM agents, and we just talked about our whole network experience now that's going into pilot to improve some of the network connectivity from on-premises data centers up into the cloud. So it's like hitting a moving target, so it has to be really, really tough.
Yeah, in fact, I was just reading about that yesterday, the Express Route. Yep. That you're talking about, phenomenal opportunity, particularly for the enterprise customer, again, you know, wanting to have that direct private connection to an Azure data center in the cloud. That's an outstanding offering.
Yeah, now people can say, yeah, I got a branch data center. It's 400,000 square feet, 125,000 servers. What you got? You know, we can one-up ourselves as that environment. So one of the things that I want to talk with you today, and kind of the topic for our environment today, is around dev and test. I think a lot of folks, when they start looking at IaaS and they look at some of the easy ways to provision machines, they kind of like, well, where do I start and what can I do with it? It's like they might come to a camp and see me present and talk about it and like, oh, gee, I spun up a Windows Server 2012 box. But, you know, they forget about a simple thing like dev and test. So what can you say about dev and test with Windows Azure?
Well, so dev and test is one of those very popular workloads in the cloud, whether you're targeting Azure or Amazon. I mean, it's arguably probably the number one workload or one of the top two or three workloads that people are looking at cloud computing for. And so, you know, the Windows Azure platform really creates a nice solution to that. And, you know, the way Microsoft looks at this is really they're taking two perspectives into consideration here. They're, you know, looking at the needs of your development team, your application owners, and then another perspective being, you know, the needs of the administrator, the IT professional that's, you know, managing that environment, and making sure that, you know, they deliver a solution that, you know, addresses both of their needs. So from an application owner perspective, for example, you know, this idea of being able to self-provision quickly an environment to do development or test on, or maybe you just want to do some experimentation or play around with some beta bits out there and you want to, you know, just create an environment and then dispose of that environment and be able to do that quickly. You know, those are some things that application owners really, it creates a level of innovation that previously just didn't exist because, in the past, it's taken, weeks or months to get a virtual machine or hardware provision for those kinds of environments. So now they can spin those environments up on their own. And I think from the IT professional's perspective, being able to support that. So not only do they have to, maintain this production, environment and maintain SLAs and keep things like hardware budget and, licensing costs in the perspective, but, be able to support the needs of that application owner and do it in a way that doesn't impact their production environment, whether it be on-premise or in the cloud. And so, being able to provide that level of, that agile, being able to provide the agility to self-provision those environments, whether it be dev or test or, a QA environment, and do it in a way that's completely separate from, say, the on-premise environment, is compelling to both audiences.
Well, yeah, and I think you outlined it in a direct case, especially what, I've spoken at some conferences and we speak at DevOps conferences, and I always ask, the joke of the audience was primarily developers, how long does it take IT to get you a machine? And that's that weeks and days question. The problem that we're having right now, and I want to see how you address this, is that when I talk to IT pros, they're like, yeah, gee, Matt, thanks for telling our developers about Azure. They're using it and we don't even know about it. So how do we advise our customers? Because developers get all excited, especially if they have MSDN, the benefits are baked in. It's baked into Visual Studio. And the next thing you know, the IT pro is going, wait, where'd you get that virtual machine from? It's not mine. How do we help folks get on the same page there? Or is it just more of a soft issue and we just kind of give up on it?
And that's a good point. In fact, and I don't know, that's actually, you could argue that both ways, right? I mean, so one of the benefits is, anybody with a credit card can go create a subscription and go to town with it. So, if you're a dev shop and just need to create something real quick, there's nothing that keeps you from doing that. And it's completely isolated from any environments that your IT staff is trying to manage or keep tabs on. So I think that's actually a plus. But at the same time, being able to, from an IT perspective, be able to, manage those subscriptions or manage the resources, the various teams, whether it be dev or QA, test, whatever teams are needing those subscriptions, being able to do that in a sandboxed way, basically, that subscription being, say, for example, a barrier around those environments. So, and you talked about other things like, the MSDN benefits and subscriptions and some of the things that you get as a result of that. I mean, I think collectively, when you look at, the features of the Windows Azure platform, as well as what you get with through your MSDN subscriptions and things like dev test rates, I mean, it really is a compelling solution and very cost effective too. I was going to comment on that. We can talk a little bit more about the environment if you want, but there's some really important cost advantages to realize as well from these dev test Azure subscriptions.
Well, and that's definitely one of the things that makes it easier. I mean, everybody talks about, when we look at Amazon and we look at Azure and we look at Rackspace and look at all these other wonderful providers of services, virtualization enabled us to take that 125,000 physical computers and just put truckloads of workloads and be able to offer it as a service to a fraction, and in some cases, a minuscule of what they're actually doing on premises. So, yeah, go ahead and talk a little bit about that, and then we'll talk a little about Amazon and some of the other folks that are out there in comparison.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so just something to point out, and you may have seen, Scott Guthrie and some others put, make comments on this or show some of this on their slides, but when you look at these MSDN dev test rates, your typical MSDN subscription, for say a Windows server, you may be paying 6 cents an hour, for example, or for a SQL Standard Edition, six cents per hour compute. And with these dev test rates that are available on these MSDN subscriptions, these pay-as-you-go subscriptions, you're able to really take, cut into those costs. So for example, like a Windows Server platform, those you get about, it's around 30-35% savings on just a server image. So instead of, 6 cents, you might be paying, 4 cents, for example. But where the value really comes in is when you start spinning up those images that have server SKUs on them. So things like SQL Server or BizTalk, you're getting upwards of 90% savings on those per hour compute charges, which is huge when you're just trying to do some simple development and test using those particular platforms. So I think that's a big win for Microsoft. Being able to, again, create that environment, dispose of the environment, and do it in a way that's cost-effective. And using that dev test MSDN benefit is a huge way to take advantage of that. And some of the things they talk about, too, when you're looking at, what do you get with these benefits, and then, some of the credits that are applied. So, when you get an MSDN subscription, say, for example, a premium subscription, you get a $100 a month credit. So you're getting $100 of Azure spend to use however you want before you even start having to pay. And when you do, you're paying at a very discounted rate with those dev test rates.
So yeah, from a cost perspective, they're just not going to be able to do it. And from a timing, especially when IaaS, we're talking nowadays. I mean, I remember when Azure first beta, it was anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes. And now it's, I spun up a server the other day and it took like 3-4 minutes and it was up and running and ready for me to start doing whatever I wanted to do. So we're getting much better on the efficiency on the back end to really understand that. So we've talked about it a couple of times. Let me go ahead and ask you a question. Why do you think, where do you think we compare against Azure versus, and I'll go against the big boy in the block right now, which is Amazon Web Services, and really it's a land grab when you think about cloud services today, but they seem to be kind of more the popular kid on the block. So how do you think Azure's comparing, and where are some things that we need to really focus in on when we're working with customers and they talk, well, I want Amazon, but Azure, we actually have the same cost. We've said we'll match Amazon's cost, but what are some of the other areas that you've seen why you chose your business on Azure and not Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and to that point about cost, I mean, there's no question that Microsoft and Amazon are watching each other closely around cost of the services. But, and it's no secret, Azure, came out as a PaaS offering, right? I mean, that was the initial offering to come out, and that's a great platform. If you're building a new application, that gives you it takes you completely away from having to manage not just the infrastructure, but the underlying operating system that your application is running on. So the idea there is that you really get to focus on your application and building that application to scale for cloud. With the IaaS, though, and this is really where I think Microsoft, it totally leads the market in terms of PaaS, but with the Azure platform and being able to support IaaS as well, really creates some interesting scenarios. So the ability to create or take an existing workload in the cloud. So, for example, we're talking about virtual machines. Maybe you just want to run a SharePoint farm, in Azure. You can lift that workload to the cloud using virtual machines. Now, you still have to manage that, but you're not paying for that underlying infrastructure. The hardware, the power to run that data center that you previously were responsible for. So now you're just managing the virtual machine itself. So I think that's real powerful. But then also being able to, connect those environments. So connect, PaaS to IaaS, and then of course the hybrid story. So one of the compelling benefits of Microsoft's solution is, you're able to take your images on-prem or to the cloud as you feel is appropriate for your business. So. It really gives you a lot of flexibility, and as your application evolves or new features are added, you can dip into other platform services. It could be PaaS, it could be websites, the mobile services stack. I mean, there's tons of things that you can take advantage of there on the Azure platform.
Well, that's some great stuff, Rick. Why don't we go ahead? I know you want to show some folks out there what it is, so why don't you give the folks a little bit of idea what it means to use Dev and Test up in the Azure IaaS platform.
Okay, absolutely. So I think one of the things I'll show you, I got a test environment that is set up, and what I'll show you is I'll show you that environment. I'll show you some of the aspects of how I got the environments configured, and then how we can use some of the hybrid features of, say, point-to-site networking to connect to those virtual machines in the cloud.
Oh, fantastic.
All right. So I guess one of the things I'll start with is I'm going to show you some point-to-site connectivity. I'm going to show you some point-to-site network connectivity features that are in Azure that are really, really compelling to a dev test scenario. And the reason why is because this environment, you know, now that it's created, I'm able to network into this environment without any assistance from, say, an IT administrator. So, again, I've created this sandbox environment, and now I want to network into it. So what I'll do first is just describe what I got here and some of the machines that are in the environment, and then I'll show how point-to-site networking works. So this is a virtual network, and I've got three virtual machines in the network. I have a domain controller that's acting as a Active Directory. I have another server in this network that's a DirSync server. So what's essentially happening there is just synchronizing identities from this Active Directory that's running in this virtual network to an Azure Active Directory tenant in the cloud. But also have in this network a client machine. And so this client machine could be a dev machine that I'm just experimenting, doing some testing on. Maybe playing around with some new technology, new beta bits for some new framework. But it's what it is. It isn't really important. It's just the fact that it's in my network. It's isolated from, say, a production environment or even my on-premise environment, and I can use this sandbox environment to do whatever I want. So, what I thought I'd show is how you can take advantage of point-to-site networking to connect to this virtual machine. Now, before I do, one of the things that I want to point out is if I go over to my virtual machines, so these are the three virtual machines that I have running, and one of the things that you'll notice when you create a virtual machine, for example, I think this domain controller has one. Yeah. So this domain controller has your standard public endpoints. So these are public-facing endpoints that you can access from anywhere that you have an internet connection to do things like remote PowerShell. So if you want to PowerShell into this or set up a remote session into this machine and do PowerShell, you can. If you want to use remote desktop to connect to it, these are the standard endpoints that you get on any virtual machine. For this demo, what I wanted to point out is that one of the things that people like to do is when they create these sandbox environments, is also do so in a way where you have no public-facing endpoints. So in other words, you don't want to have to go over the public internet to connect to it, or you don't want to have to go over the public internet to administer it through PowerShell. And that's perfectly fine. Just put your machines in a virtual network and then take advantage of something like point-to-site networking and just connect to it through a virtual network. So what I've done on this client machine, and I could have done the other machines the same way, but I've taken away all the public endpoints. So in other words, I can't connect to this machine publicly over RDP like we normally would see in a virtual machine. But what I can do is connect to it through the virtual network.
Yeah, and that's an important point to point out, folks, is that especially from a security standpoint, I mean, one of the biggest, headaches that people have of using Azure, Rick, and you probably run into this is, wait, I don't control the hardware anymore. But when you lock those endpoints down, there's no way to get into that virtual machine unless it's a part of a virtual network and you've tied that point-to-point virtual net in. But remember, folks, one of the nice things about having that point-to-site virtual network is that when Rick connects here that he's going to show us, he can get access to all three of those machines instead of having to set up three different endpoints and three different RDP clients. He essentially has one client that gives him access to all three. So when you're doing a dev and test and you have a multi-tier application or working with multiple virtual machines, really this is the way to work with it, and don't worry about the endpoints unless you're going to open up port 80 for web browsing back into that environment for test.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love this. I love this scenario. It's really a powerful feature. And again, I like the fact that it requires no... It's not like site-to-site networking where you have a device and requires some, an IT professional to administer and set that up. This is just an environment that I created, with a credit card and spun some machines up, and I'm able to connect to it however I like. So in order to set this up, what you have to do is you have to upload a certificate to Azure for this particular virtual network, and this is this is what authenticates you when you actually are accessing the network. So you'll create a certificate authority, and these are self-signed certificates for this environment. But you'll create a certificate of authority, and then you'll upload that certificate to Azure for this particular network.
What do you see most folks using when they do dev and test? Do you see just a lot of people doing the self-signs, or do they use like one of their public certs that they paid for?
Well, actually, for this one, currently it only supports the self-signed certificates.
Okay.
So, you know, it's in this scenario, that's the only way to do it, which is fine because it's dev test anyway, so... self-signed certs work perfect. Okay, so I've already done that, and there's documentation that shows how to create those self-signed certificates. Once you've set that up and you got your gateway good to go, you'll have an option over here to download a VPN package. And just click on that, and what Azure will do is send down this package. It just takes a second. So you'll see it's just a little executable. Something to point out, too, you'll notice it's got that cryptic name. You know, it's just a big, long GUID with the .exe. That cryptic name actually aligns to the virtual network ID over here. So if you look at your virtual network settings, that's you're going to see the same ID that you see in this file name. That's particularly useful if you have multiple virtual networks. That's one way that you can identify the VPN package for the specific network that it's used for. So just download that and run it, and that will install that client package on your machine. And when you've done that, I've already done it, so I won't do it again. But once you've done that, if you pull up your network settings, you'll see you'll have a network connection that matches this network. So you can see up here, this is actually PPE VNet. That's the name of my virtual network. And over here in my network settings is the PPE VNet. So if I click on that, I can actually just connect to this just like I would any other VPN network. So this will launch the client to connect to PPE VNet. So I'm just going to click on connect. And now I'm connected. So this is just like, you know, a VPN connection from your, you know, home computer to the office, you know, so to speak. So same idea. And just to verify, you can see that it is connected. So what I'm able to do at this point, remember this machine does not have any public endpoints, but I can now connect to it using this IP address, this 10.0.1.5. So to do that, run MSTC, go to 10.0.1.5 and connect. And there we go. Well, it's coming up. Actually, I think this machine got recycled just a little bit ago. But this is that server machine or the client machine that's in that virtual network.
Yeah, and to be clear, when you're talking about client, you're just using Windows Server 2012 R2 as a kind of a generic client to do your testing of the apps or the frameworks or whatever you're testing to make sure it works.
Absolutely. Yep. So I was able to connect to this, you know, it just using the IP address and the virtual network assigned to this client machine and do whatever, you know, testing or development I want to do on this particular computer.
Oh, fantastic.
Actually, pause. I was just going to check and see if this had the dev. I don't think this was a dev machine. I think it's just a basic.
That's fine. I think we get the point.
Anyway, the whole idea was that you could connect to it. So.
Cool.
Hey, Matt, what I was thinking might be another good demo is just kind of pointing out the Visual Studio image that's part of the MSDN subscription.
So I'll lead you into that. When we unpause, we'll say, well, Rick, you know, we talked about how to connect these virtual machines. How did you create a virtual machine? You can just step through you don't actually have to set one up, just step through that first page.
Okay.
Just talk about the wizard in general, but talk about the image gallery if you want. Because that's where we've just seen some huge change. So,
yeah, okay.
All right, so.
No, I won't get into it.
No, he's just going to show what happens in Chris is when you stand up the virtual machines, there's a virtual machine image up there that comes with Visual Studio already preloaded. So he'll show it. Yeah. Yeah, we're not showing Visual Studio. These are IT pros, man. You'll do that, their heads will explode. All right. I think we're ready.
Yeah.
So, Rick, that's really cool, is that how quick it is to access those machines. But why don't we show the folks a little bit about how did you actually create the virtual machine? We don't actually have to create one, but I want to show the folks the different ways that we can actually provision those back-end machines that they'll connect to.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a quick look at that. So I'll just – what I'll do is add another machine to this virtual network and just – but we'll make this a dev machine. And we'll do so highlighting some of the images that are available through the MSDN subscription. So what I did, I just switched over to a different subscription. This is a development subscription, so I can show how we can create a virtual machine using the Visual Studio image that's in the gallery as well. So to do that, just go to the Compute Virtual Machine, and we'll select From Gallery, and we'll choose an image. And, you know, this is, if you've been here before, you've seen all these images. You have Server, SharePoint, SQL, and so on. There's just plenty of images to choose from. And by the way, they're not always don't always have to be Windows. You can also use Linux. We have some Oracle images as well. So it's a pretty rich selection of images to choose from. But what I wanted to highlight here is this MSDN option here. If you click on that, you'll see these Visual Studio images that you can choose from. So you get premium, professional, and ultimate. And what's particularly nice about these images is they come with not just Visual Studio, but they also include an installation of SharePoint. They also come with SQL Server and some configuration scripts to get that environment up and running. So if you just want a virtual machine in the cloud to do some development on, or SharePoint development on, or do some development against SQL Server, these images are ready to go. You just create one, take a few minutes, and you're off and running. So to do that, just click on that image, give this thing a name. I think I got a few of these out there already, so I'm going to call this one Dev4. These are recommended sizes that they're giving you here. So because of everything that's running, SharePoint and SQL and so on, they recommend, you know, the large instance size, but you can change this. I'm just going to go with the default. Give this a name so I can connect to it. And I can attach this to an existing virtual machine cloud service. So if, for example, were creating, say, a web form of IIS servers, then I might want to do this. For this particular virtual machine, it's just a dev machine, so I don't want to do that. So I'm going to say create a new cloud service for this. We'll use the name Recurring Dev 4. And here's where I could actually choose a virtual network. So in the previous demo, I was showing you the PPE VNet. Now, if I were on that subscription, I could choose to join this machine to that particular virtual network, and it would have all the accessibility that those other machines did that I demonstrated.
Yeah, so when we look at this, one of the really interesting things, and on that first page, he's showing you an image that we're giving you as a company. But one of the great things about Azure, folks, is that if you have your own dev and test pre-canned image, and it's a VHD file, a Hyper-V file, you can upload those images into the gallery. So then those choices, one, that gallery is going to change because we as Microsoft are going to help and add images as our service offering grows and matures. But you also might have that steadfast of what a web server looks like in your org. If it's a Hyper-V VHD file, you can simply upload that into the gallery and it becomes a choice for you and your subscription, which really offers a really flexible way to build the environment you want to build. This is our recommendation of what a dev environment may work, but that may not match your requirements as a company.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Great points. And something else, Matt, that I just wanted to call out that, you know, while we're here, you might notice this little information link here. So earlier we were talking about those reduced dev test rates. And that's exactly what this is talking about. It identifies my subscription as an MSDN subscription. And it's basically saying, hey, this subscription qualifies for that dev test pay-as-you-go feature. So if you want to get that 90% or better, sorry about the noise there. So if you want to get that 90% or better discount on, you know, your SQL Server image or your BizTalk server image, then you can opt into that with your MSDN benefit. So it's just reminded me that that's available. Anyway, moving right along, we have next, the last screen here is just asking, you know, what kind of endpoints do you want to set up? I pointed this out earlier. You have your standard remote desktop and PowerShell endpoints that you get by default. And as of 24 hours ago, we now have this VM agent, which is a really nice feature. Maybe we come back in the future and talk about that one. But that's, again, just the innovation and the rate of change that's happening on the Azure platform is just, it's really impressive to see all these new features coming out. But anyway, we'll move forward, hit the checkbox, and so now we got Rickering Dev 4 that's being provisioned. So yeah, this will take a few minutes, but that's how you would create a dev machine running in Azure.
Oh, perfect. Well, Rick, thank you for showing us that. Well, that was awesome, Rick. It really showed you how easy it was to not only connect to an environment and provision it, and I know by the time we're probably done talking, that machine will be up and ready for people to test. So where can people learn more about Opsgility, and where can they learn more about Azure and IaaS dev test scenarios?
Well, Opsgility can be found at opsgility.com. That's OPSGILITY.com. You can also find me online, rickraney.com. Which links over to Opsgility as well. So that's my personal blog. And Michael Washam, his is michaelwasham.com. That's his personal blog. So that's how you can find us. And as far as, you know, where can you get more information on DevTest, I would just go to windowsazure.com and go to the DevTest Solutions Center. There's a number of really helpful resources and scenarios there that people can use to get started with DevTest. You know, we talked about the MSDN benefits. There's some information there to get started with that, but there's also just a wealth of information. There's scripts available, PowerShell scripts that are specific to DevTest workloads that can be taken advantage of as well. So definitely go check that out. That's at windowsazure.com, and then just go to features, and in the features section, you'll find the DevTest link.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Once again, thank you to Rick for joining us today, and thank you to everybody else tuning in and checking us out on TechNet Radio. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thanks, everyone.